College football, no dogs this weekend as they'll get ready for Florida coming up next week. But we will talk about what Coach Mark Rick had to say and also the game you should be paying attention to. And we'll hear from Kirby Smart. Mike, he stopped by the steakhouse earlier today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and was talking with Rusty and Stakey about a variety of things. Listen, everybody's still reeling off that Texas game, and he answered a lot of questions in regards to that. They really didn't dive into the Florida stuff. But we know that is the focus for the Dogs moving forward.
Right.
You can't have any more slip-ups. We've talked about it. I mean, listen, there'll be a bunch of one-loss teams in this 12-team playoff. There'll be a couple of two-loss teams. I don't know if there'll be any three-loss teams, as we've discussed.
Right.
And the Dogs, listen, they don't have to worry about it, Mike. They're two toughest games. We talked about it. On the road to Alabama, on the road to Texas. You lost one, you won one. We didn't know which one it was going to be. That's kind of what we figured going into the season. I think they're in a great spot.
And if you believe that we don't know what the College Football Playoff Committee's motivation will be, but if, you know, that Army-Navy story is so compelling, you know, there's a bunch of other smaller schools. But again, you know, the guys that aren't the usuals, Iowa State's been around for a number of years.
Sure.
It's a good program, but there's basically like the Boise State or the small one that would maybe kind of be the monkey with the wrench, but nobody's going to bellyache out a service academy getting in if they keep winning.
Nobody.
But that would maybe trump, you know, one of those teams that has those three losses from a big conference. That'd be the one.
I agree. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, that replay from Kirby Smart. Also, some guy talk a little bit later on this hour. Let's talk some dogs. Everything's going wrong, huh?
The computer's going haywire on Orin.
Hey, man, Coach Mark Richt, we love him. He weighed in on the controversy, Mike, at Texas. And listen, a blind man saw that right. Didn't look right, okay? We all know that. But Coach Rick was saying, and this is a direct quote, if you're going to make the call, make the call. And if you blow it, you blow it. He's talking about the officials. Do you feel that way? Like, hey,
yeah.
Keep the call where it was, and if it was wrong, it was wrong, but you made the call.
Yeah, but look, I get it. We all, at the end of the day, want the call to be right, and the SEC is saying, well, we got it right. No. Time out now. You know, there's no transparency. How did you come to this? You marked the ball for play. Time is running off the clock. I mean, that call was made. You adjudicated. That's it. Because there was a delay, and that precedent is awful that was set by the fans going nuts with the bottles and such, but you didn't do it by the rules. You made a mistake, yes, but you're supposed to ball the move. The game continues. You're not supposed to stop, and now there's a new set of rules that's never happened before in an SEC game, especially one of that magnitude. That's why it doesn't jive for me. And I think, I agree with Rick. Yes, we want to get it right. If you want to make pass interference reviewable, then put that in the rules for next year. But you couldn't do what you did in Texas on Saturday.
No, yeah.
We fixed the glitch.
I agree totally, and listen, Coach has been doing this a long time, and he's had some, you know, if you do it long enough, you're on the ends of both sides, right? You get some bad calls, you get some good calls. We had just never seen anything like that. Georgia Athletic Director, we mentioned Josh Brooks, who at one time was the football operations director at UGA,
right,
when Rick was the head coach there, issued a public statement saying the exact same thing. That if you make the call, right, this is where you got to be. And then, of course, he was very careful, Mike, because, you know, he understands the College Football Playoff Committee and, right, and the ADs involved. And he said, look, being the AD of Georgia, but I thought he stated it in such an eloquent way that you couldn't refute what he was saying about that whole situation.
I'm with you. And by the way, Coach Rick, you can still go online. Just Google Coach Rick with Parkinson's disease and Crohn's disease, because he was speaking at Kirby's press conference last week talking
right
about that to bring up the cause that obviously we all want to support because he's such a good dude.
All right, real quick, while we're talking about this, a scenario, and don't say it won't happen, and don't laugh and don't say, oh, well, that will never take place, because it could.
So Roddy DeBalzi, who does a great job covering George Bulldogs, I saw on his Twitter page today, and he was saying, look, you know, what if you take it back to that moment when you've got the offsides play? You know, remember, guys, Tyler Simmons was not offsides. Georgia is up 13-0 in the third quarter. He blocks a punt in Alabama territory. You remember the scenario for guys who don't.
For sure.
Back in the 2017-18 season, the 2018 national championship game at the Benz. But now, if you had the – imagine if Georgia fans saw the replay on TV, and whether it was student section or whoever was anywhere in Mercedes-Benz, starts chucking stuff onto the floor of Mercedes-Benz, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to clean it up, and the SEC – Well, maybe all of a sudden we don't have that second and forever play that gets converted because Alabama's in too big a hole to dig back out of. It's one of those – I get it. I know Bama fans are going to say blank you on that one, but it's still – the same argument holds true. If you're going to give fans an opportunity to act like a horse's butt, but the refs now have a 5-minute delay to maybe get something right, did they get it right?
Yeah. I don't think we've seen the last of this. And you know, everybody's talking about the fine Texas got, $250,000 pocket change. I mean, come on, let's be real. You're not going to find every student body member who threw something on the field, Mike. They'll find some of those kids and they'll say, hey, you can't come to the games. That's part of this. But at the end of the day, you're telling me this is not going to happen again now? Like, if there is a significant enough call with the pressure that is mounting towards this college football playoff, whether it's in the playoff or before, I feel like now fan bases are smart. They understand this. Kids are smart, Mike. They're going to be like, you saw what happened in Texas. Right. If we get a bad call today, we're throwing stuff out there.
Now, again, how many Texas fans, those kids actually did lose their tickets? You may have seen the memes. And not
very
a meme.
Few.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's a handout speeding tickets at the Indy 500. You're not going to get everybody out there. But for those who don't remember, guys, it was actually Bama. It was a false start on that play, and then they would have moved the ball back. Georgia does get the ball, but gets pinned, and nothing happens. So I just felt, you know, I thought Roddy brought up a great point. There's moments now where the SEC, guys, these games take forever. The SEC officials take forever. I know the NFL is trying to keep it around 3 hours, 5 minutes, Carl, but are you cool with giving coaches unlimited challenge on everything? You get two per half.
It needs to be
I'm
done.
Not saying two for the game. I'm saying you get to challenge two for the half, because whether it's the SEC or the ACC, let's call it what it is. The college officials aren't as good as the NFL officials, and we have enough problems with the NFL officials.
Yeah, this is where it needs to go. And again, we need to have, whether it's a committee that says these plays are reviewable, or the coaches around the conference say these are the plays we want reviewable, it needs to happen. There's just too much technology out there for that kind of thing to happen. And then you feel like these guys are getting together and talking about it, and somebody's like, psst. Come on, I didn't see anything.
No guarantee that's going to still fix things, because we, Lord knows, we have a long TV timeout for the targeting, and the refs still get it wrong.
This is true, but it makes you feel better. You'd feel better about it if we were a part of the process. You didn't feel a part of the process when those guys were meeting in the middle of the field at Texas. You didn't hear what was going on, and we certainly didn't see anything. If they show a replay, Mike, and they're showing us as fans, hey, this is what we're looking at least I feel a little bit about the process.
Right. I just think when it comes to targeting, and again, that's going to require the NCAA really taking a long, hard look at it. If the offensive player, if a running back or wide receiver with the ball lowers his head, then have matching penalties. They offset.
Yeah.
And because sometimes I think it's the defensive player who can't react in time to what the offensive player's posture changes, and all of a sudden now it's head-to-head.
Here's the game you should be paying attention to this weekend. First place in the SEC is up for grabs. It is number 14 Texas A&M hosting number 8 LSU Saturday night. And that may be a surprise to you, but A&M is 4-0 in the conference. They've won 6 straight since dropping that opener against Notre Dame. LSU has also won 6 games after losing their first one to USC. And, Mike, believe it or not, if you start to look ahead, if A&M is able to get past LSU, they could be playing in the SEC championship game.
That game with Texas at the end of the regular season is just going to be monumental. LSU's got a ton of abilities, you know, offensively. Defensively, I still think certainly give the edge to the Aggies over the Tigers as far as coming up with some stops. But LSU is on a heater, as you said.
Yeah, the A&M defense has been really good. They've recorded 7 tackles for loss in 4 consecutive games. They have been solid. They're turning teams over. And then, Mike, you look at, you know, what's going on with them as far as the run game. A&M has a dominant run game. The two things Coach Elko went in there and said, I'm going to have, is a good defense and a great run game. And they have both of them. And that puts a lot of pressure on, you know, on Nussmeier to get the job done, especially if they're able to shut that run game down for LSU. So I think it's a big spot, man. I look at this game and I'm going, Georgia obviously could easily be playing in the SEC championship game. But this is two teams nobody's talking about. LSU gets past A&M. Right. They still have to beat Alabama. But all of a sudden, you don't feel as confident about Alabama as you did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, man. A&M, very quietly, is getting the job done. And they still have some of those dudes from Jimbo's recruiting class. And Elko, you saw it at Duke. Real physicality. Real quick, if Alabama nearly lost to South Carolina at home, could they nearly lose to Missouri or get beat by Missouri at home?
Of course they can. Of course.
Coming off, and how does Kalen DeBoer handle this adversity? Everybody in Alabama is literally losing their minds. You got people talking to their cats on Feinbaum. You got all this stuff going down. It just, Missouri is a 16.5 point. Why should anyone be a 2-touchdown dog going into Tuscaloosa right now?
Well, they shouldn't, but that's just reputation.
Right. I know why, but still.
I don't buy it either. I don't think that number stands up. By the way, South Carolina ran for 243 yards on LSU and 4 scores earlier this season. A&M has a real shot to make that part of their game plan. That's a game that I'm going to be paying attention to in the SEC, especially with the Dogs not playing this week. But again, you know, are we going to have an undefeated team in the SEC? It's very possible that we see that. It doesn't mean, again, both of these teams have won losses, but not within the SEC, not yet.
The undefeated Nittany Lions going to Wisconsin today, or this weekend. Today, Coach Franklin had to answer some questions about some players who have been charged with, or there's an investigation to sexual assault on a co-ed at Penn State, but they were dismissed from the football team. So if you read if you read some of the headlines today, it made it sound like they were on the roster. They're not. They got kicked off back in the summer. But it's something, unfortunately for Franklin, he had to deal with at Vanderbilt, which of course will get people saying stuff, which doesn't connect one to the other. There's lots and lots of players under scholarship. But either way, bad look for Penn State, but it was taken care of before the season began.
All right, guys, 404-726-0929. You can always hit us up. That is our text line as well here on Dukes and Bell, and follow us on social media. Coming up, we're going to hear from Kirby Smart and a few of the things he had to say, not only about the Texas game, but also, you know, just a glimpse into kind of turning the page and looking forward to Florida, Mike. This game, I'm talking about the Florida game. Before the season, remember, we were like, oh, Florida's in trouble. Mike mentioned it. They're playing a lot better. And listen,
maybe good enough to keep his job for Napier.
Correct. And Mike, this is the thing for him. He just needs to be competitive. You don't want to get blown out 50-3. But if you're competitive and you're in this game in the fourth quarter, for Florida fans, as bad as it sounds, it's going to make you feel a lot better than where you've been. But I still think the Dogs are going to roll. But you'll hear Kirby and what he had to say on the Steakhouse.
And we mentioned it earlier, just for guys, if you'd missed Carl mention for Kennesaw State, for Owl fans out there, congratulations.
Go again. Owls.
A huge win is like four touchdown Dogs against Liberty and getting that first Conference USA win.
Big deal, man. Big deal to Kennesaw up there. All right, we're coming back. You'll hear Kirby Smart next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Vance, who did you – Who is there?
My damn cat.
Oh, okay.
It is Dukes and Bell. We were just talking about the Dogs, man, as they get a week off to prepare, as they always do, Carl, for the cocktail party and the, I guess, slightly resurgent Billy Napier's Gators. But we heard Kirby this morning on the Steakhouse.
Yeah, man, and the first thing they asked him was about Carson Beck. Mike, we've had a lot of conversations about Beck, and right. I think we'll continue to. My question for Dog fans is, as good as they have been at times, is that the issue? Will he hold you back based on some of the mistakes that he's making? Either way, Kirby said, listen, we got a lot of drops. We had a lot of things happen in that Texas game. But Stakey asked him, along with Rusty Manziel, about Carson Beck.
Well, I'm confident in him because I've seen him do it so long. I mean, I was telling somebody at practice yesterday, you know, this kid's been here since COVID year.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. I still remember going to Arkansas to play, and he was, you know, part of our program. And I've seen him go through so much. He's seen so much. He's had so many reps. And I just got a lot of trust and confidence in him. He's intelligent. He makes good decisions. I mean, he's had some throws that I know he wish he'd take back.
Yep.
And he admits that. But when it comes down to it, I still believe in this guy and believe in him and our system and the players around him. They got tremendous resilience. I mean, I don't know what the stats are, but it seems like every time we have to have a drive, we have a drive, and we had to have a drive against Auburn, Mississippi State. He comes up with a drive. He did that last year, and that was one of those moments that it didn't start out great, that drive. We had lost all momentum.
Yes.
But he threw a strike on third down, and that was a big play.
Coach, I know you guys, all you guys communicate, SEC head coaches, I know you're an SEC guy. Somebody's going to get left out of this playoff. This schedule for everybody is crazy. Then you start talking about the depth of the league, maybe at all-time high. I mean, yeah. It's scary to think there's going to be one or two teams in the SEC that's not going to make this thing that absolutely should be in it.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, what's crazy is the only people you can trust and believe in this business is Vegas. Because if you tell Vegas to do all these teams, there's no question who would be favored in these games.
Yeah.
And I guess that doesn't matter, you know, because the perception will be every conference will have two or three teams left out that should get in. And they'll include SEC teams in that two or three. But these SEC teams, whoever it ends up being, it could be anybody because the schedules are just brutal when you look at what's left. It's crazy. I mean, it makes me wonder about the whole nine-game conversation because I'm sitting here going, wait a second.
Yeah.
What if we all had nine games? Like we'd be talking about 3 and 4 loss teams.
Yeah.
Because you just add another game, you're going to play another good team, and you're going to bring about the possibility of teams losing it. There's so much parity in our league right now. It's closer than it's ever been.
It's almost like you've been telling everybody this, and people didn't want to listen. After the Kentucky game, you explained that was a huge win. Winning the 2 games at home, Auburn and South Carolina. Then you look up and you go, oh, Bama almost lost 3 in a row. They lost to Vandy in Tennessee. Damn nearly almost lost to South Carolina. You've been trying to tell everybody the reason we won at Texas is because of what happened before then. And I think finally people are getting it.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to get it till about 2 more weeks. About 2 more weeks, they're going to look in there and say, oh, the SEC's just, you know, they're just average. They got a bunch of average teams. And I promise you, nobody wants to step into this 8-game league because, you know, it's not only the physicality week in and week out that wears on you, it tears on you. It's the road games. Yep. And the atmospheres you go into are sometimes a touchdown advantage because of penalties and crowd noises. I mean, it's just not the same. It means more. And I'm not disrespecting any other conferences because I think these other conferences are stronger. I mean, look at the Big Ten now. They're as strong as they've ever been. They've got a deep conference with a lot of talent. And all these conferences do. But week in, week out, it's just go ask the NFL scouts. They'll tell you.
I worry about the SEC title game because I was doing the math on having 2 losses and not having to play in that game or having 2 losses and playing in that game, and there's a vulnerability that game could cost you a chance to go to the playoff.
Well, it could, and it has before. For us.
No doubt.
But I do think that you know, there's a possibility there that there could be a head-to-head with somebody sitting out, and that might be the reason the 2-loss team was in, because they were, you know, they played the other team head-to-head. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with that. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, I think the leaders and supervisors that are out there are trying to find a way to make those championship games more viable. And that's what they're trying to do is create opportunities to sustain and have the championship games, have them mean more. And whatever that footprint looks like moving forward, they'll do the right thing and find ways to make those games important.
Finishing up with Kirby Smart on Sports Radio 92.9. So give us the lowdown. You say you don't pay attention to the pundits, the media. You don't have time for that. But then everybody picks against you. You say everybody's texting you. I imagine at some point you mentioned that ESPN, every single guy on a set says Georgia can't win this game. So are you paying attention? And does it play right into it when you're able to look at your team and say, I don't know, I just heard everybody in the world thinks we can't win a game?
No, I honestly never mentioned that. You ask any player on our team. Number one, I don't have time to bring that up because from the time they made those decisions and those pundits said a lot of those things, we didn't meet as a team. We don't huddle up and go meet after. We don't do that. I mean, we get prepared for the game. We do walkthroughs, and then we go get ready to play. I mean, you're not going to ever hear me talking about that. People sent it to me.
Well, people sent it. Yeah, you mentioned it right after the game.
Correct. That was sent to me, but that's not mentioned to the team.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, for me, I look at it and say, okay, pick two, but that's just more of idle time, idle mind. I don't think that's good to use that as motivation. I mean, hell, for a matter of fact, it might scare your team. Tell them everybody picked against them. So I'm not interested. Really am not interested in that. I you know, you had a stance and a platform to sit there and say that they did do that and they didn't have conviction. But like I told Marty Smith when he texted me, I said, look, I don't think it's so much that they doubted. They just were on the road playing against the number one team in the country. Who are you picking? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not that they doubt Georgia as much as they had conviction in Texas. I don't think any one of those guys up there doesn't think we have a good football team, but that's just what they chose to pick.
Great stuff. Appreciate you taking the time. Huge game against Florida. They looked pretty good last week, Coach. So
Florida is good. Florida's got a really good football team. I've been telling people that all year. Their personnel, their size, they got the best-looking defensive front and offensive front, probably in the league because they're deep and they got a lot of big guys.
You recruited a lot of those guys, especially on defense.
100%. We recruited a lot of them and lost on a lot of them, and they're becoming guys. They're guys that have played for 2 and 3 years now.
That is Kirby Smart with the Steakhouse. So he did not tell the team what he said to the country after the win, which was nobody believed in us. But he did say that because he received a bunch of text messages from folks around college football saying, can you believe nobody's picking you guys? Either way, whatever he's got working, Mike, it's working. And he finds himself in a very familiar position right now. And by the way, Kirby, I don't know what the hell you're doing. I mean, I know you were yelling last Saturday night, but my God, like, really, is it that hard? Are you guys going that hard right now?
I think so. I mean, I think part of what makes them what they are, Carl, is, you know, that intensity to eat and be elite.
Yeah. But his voice
is shot. And take on the heat.
His voice is shot. He's not taking anything for granted, and nor should they with Florida. Again, I don't know what the number's going to be, Mike, but ultimately they'll be favored, as I said, in every game moving forward.
I know that Tennessee was the game that we thought, okay, and then it's funny how, all right, I'll try it last time. Nico Iamaleva, how's that?
It's right.
Hey, what do I win? But anyway, the idea that, you know, he has sort of become, you know, a little bit, I don't know, conspicuous in his absence as far as the big plays and how they kind of run despite him. So he got some of that back, obviously, in the win against Alabama, maybe getting some of his confidence back. So maybe by the time they play Georgia at Sanford Stadium, he's back to what we thought he was going to be and how he kind of showed out with his coming out party against NC State.
Listen.
But that's, for me, is still the toughest. Tech, with all, I mean, I know they're hoping to get Haynes King back, and he may go this week, but... And look, we know that Brentke will always have Tech ready. You still got to go to Oxford. We know that. But it just, you just feel that, you know, Ole Miss, if it's something what we've seen moving forward from the Texas game, I still think Georgia can handle their business down there at Vaught Hemingway.
No, I do too. There's no doubt about it. 404-726-0929. You know, the Vandy, or not the Vandy, but the Ole Miss situation is that game looked very intriguing 4 weeks ago. And this is what Kirby was just saying. You're about to find out. About 3 weeks from now, this is going to look totally different than what it looks like now. Again, it gets back to this weekend with LSU and A&M. Somebody's got to lose, Mike. Right. Now you're talking about one team that's not had a loss in SEC play and a team that's got, you know, a loss in SEC play, but two losses overall. That changes the dynamics of how the committee is going to look at these teams. All right, man, we got some guy talk on the way, brother. What's working today?
Hey, man, I got a couple of things. Why did the Arizona Cardinals send their cheerleaders to the showers on Monday Night Football?
Early?
Yeah, I'll explain. And, hey, would you like a piece of Drake's chicken? Next. Where to play is play. It takes a lot to get our guys to laugh out loud behind the glass. But if you were listening going into the break, as we always give you traffic to keep you updated, we have our good buddy Will Guerra that we're great friends with. And his birthday party was fantastic. I told you he had it catered by a Waffle House, which was brilliant. A lot of fun. But anyway, let's go back for guys who missed it. We all kind of were like, what the hell was that? Listen to this.
Southbound, that's a slow roll now coming out of 575 all the way down towards the perimeter. Hey! We'll get it from the Game Time Traffic Center, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I texted him. I said, was that a sneeze? Is that a chortle? And he goes, it gets hectic in the traffic bunker.
Obviously it does. Hey! Come on, Will.
I mean, that's better than anything that Ferris Bueller had sampled on his keyboard. Remember when he was pretending to be sick?
That's right. The fake coughs. Yeah.
Sorry, you made me laugh. Anyway, last night, as we were telling you at the end of the show, with President Trump having his rally over at the Gas South Arena, you and I were worried about it being a quagmire, a real mess on the way home. But luckily, you and I is okay. I think for folks coming northbound on 85 last night, there were some major delays.
Yeah, I took...
Please. Well, we moved on.
I took the back way.
Get some Claritin.
Because I did not want to run into any issues. I'll say this. You said it yesterday, man. Listen, you're messing with the commute. I know this is the season where you've got everybody in town, but at the end of the day, man, you're messing with this commute. Today, I think Kamala's in town, so it's, you're dealing with a similar situation.
She'll be in Clarkson at Hallford Stadium, and according to the AJC, lane closure's been lifted on I-285, but on the east side, they're expecting it could be pretty funky over by Memorial College Avenue, North Indian Creek Drive. So in that neck of the woods, you know, just expect delays.
Sure.
Bruce Springsteen's going to be there, Tyler Perry, Spike Lee, and others. It's going to be pretty big, but so that's just part of it. I know that in years past, you know, you and I, especially on 75, when they literally shut down everything for the president, we're always like, oh, come on. Can't they just get him a helicopter? I mean, over at Thomas, you can't find something we can use instead of like Marine One. I know they keep that up there in D.C. Get helicopters for these candidates. Anyway, a couple of stories for you. I got some interesting news. I got my email on the Hawks tickets, and this is kind of something that'd be kind of fun. November 6th, there's always great entertainment. Obviously, we always have our local artist, Keith Sweat, going to be performing on November 6th, halftime of the Knicks game at State Farm Arena.
That's cool, man. Yeah, he's still getting it done. Still begging, but he's still getting it done.
You know, no baloney. And maybe we'll get him on before then. That was the first interview I ever did when I was doing Top 40 Radio.
Last night, great dude. Saw you standing there.
If Record you ask company? Folks in the industry about Keith, they will swear he is one of the most dangerous people in the music in the whole music industry.
Really,
Keith got a side to him. Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Do tell. Well, don't spill the tea. I mean,
just Keith is affiliated. That's all I will say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, man.
Yeah, man. Listen, he's a fun artist, great artist over the years, Mike.
I want her.
I want her. So you said what? This is the first record?
November 6th.
No. What about the record you were playing?
No, I was just saying that back in the old days, you know, you and I both worked in Top 40 coming up into business. And we used to get all these, you know, for the ratings, for the records and stuff, you know, with all the Billboard charts and all that. Mm. So we get all the cool artists. So that was one of the first dudes I got to interview. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And kind of like, hello, Mr. Sweat. Nice guy. I was like 18. Hey, man, we learned that the Braves have found their new hitting instructor. His name is Tim Hires.
Okay.
They've hired Tim Hires. He's got a Georgia connection. He's a Georgia boy. He's been where the champagne flows. He's with the Texas Rangers, with Boston. And we talked to Brett Boone earlier because, you know, you and I were kind of dismayed how they dismissed our last hitting instructor. But he says that, you know, it's basically up on the play. It's incumbent on the players to do the work. I think a lot of Braves fans felt that, you know, Chipper's indictment of the way that things were going the last season. I don't know. I mean, did my thing about the Braves, and did Kevin Seitzer get a raise when they had the best offense, like in Braves history? But then he forgot everything to do when they had a bunch of minor leaguers and journeymen the next season? To me, it's not fair.
Listen.
No reflection on Tim Hires, who seems to be certainly qualified, but no, that is the new hitting coach for the Bravos.
They're going
to
bring in somebody. Here's the other way that I think that you have to look at it, and whether it's fair or not, what is.
Right.
He had been here over a decade. And when you start saying, Mike, okay, what can we change? This becomes one of the conversations. Right. It's never easy. And
It's just off the year of a historically good offensive performance. That's the only irony that I found.
No, I agree with you. But, Mike, when you go look at these numbers, like, it wasn't one dude that didn't hit. Right. The team didn't hit. And I don't have the answer to that either. Listen, I was one of the guys who first said this is ridiculous to fire him at this particular juncture. But I also think you can stay the course or you can try to change something. And I think at least they're trying to change something. Now, will it make a difference? I don't know. Maybe health, getting healthy and getting everybody back makes the difference. But I think that's probably how they looked at things. And when they said, all right, what are we going to do? What can we do? Mm-hmm. You just think about a different approach. And how many times have you said that? I wish they would have gone with a different approach.
Well, you got your new guy, and apparently he's pretty good at it too. So we'll see. NBA season's in rare form. We got guys in Philadelphia tapping out. And Draymond Green gets his first technical of the season.
He's on his way.
We're kind of used to that. The Warriors were taking on the Trailblazers. And again, it looked like he was jawing with the ref, and I guess he said one of those words you can't say. Then it was a bit of a scuffle, so he's rolling. He's ready to rock. Some interesting stories.
Is anybody going to punch Draymond? I'm asking.
I would like to see someone attempt it.
Is anybody going to? I mean, seriously.
Right.
Like, I know this is sometimes mostly for effect. Let's be honest, right? But
some young buck is going to basically say, enough of you, pow, and just step up to him.
Well, but Mike, I mean, he had Rudy Gobert in a sleeper hole.
But Rudy Gobert is French.
Okay, but that's my point.
As the French say, I surrender.
But that's my point. Like, some of this is for show, and then some of it's like, okay, I'm still a tough guy. Either way, I'm like, the season starts, and you're already there, Draymond.
No, I mean, at some point, hopefully he'll step to somebody who's not having a good night and says, all right, pow.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he reacts to that, and then see the Warriors react to that. Hey, would you like some free chicken?
Of course.
What if it's Drake's chicken?
Drake?
As in Drake.
Drake?
As in Drake, as in the pop star.
What's his chicken? What's the deal?
He's giving away free Dave's hot chicken for his birthday. Now, there's only one Dave's Hot Chicken in Metro Atlanta. I believe it's in Conyers.
Yeah.
Because I had a couple guys. Remember, we were talking chicken one day, and a guy said, you got to try this.
There's a lot of hot chicken spots popping up, though.
It's his birthday. It's your birthday today. And he basically said, now, again, a call ahead. I don't want you guys to, like, just bum rush that place in Conyers if they're not a participating restaurant. But he'll be celebrating his birthday, giving everyone free Dave's Hot Chicken sliders. Oh. And it's happening only on today, which is his 38th birthday.
Yeah, I like the hot chicken, by the
way. Me too.
I'm a fan.
The Nashville-type hot chicken.
Yeah, it's
Memphis,
delicious.
But, anyway, the brand is
Hattie
expanding.
B's, you're about.
Yeah, Hattie B's is great. But third year in a row now that Drake's collaborated with Dave's for his birthday. There's one over in Columbus, and it looks pretty good, man. It's just the right for me. It's just the right amount of heat.
Oh, I agree. It's never. No, you can get it super hot.
Yeah,
but
you
I don't
take
want
it
that.
Atomic level. I
yeah,
don't want
I, don't,
that.
I don't want that.
Hey, man. Interesting story. I saw this last night. The Cardinals. They take their cheerleaders and they remove them from the sideline.
What happened?
And they've got, you know, Arizona. That's beautiful territory for finding cheerleaders, Carl, from Lake Havasu to Tempe, if I might say, to Scottsdale. Fans of the Arizona Cardinals expressed shock over the apparent removal of the Cardinals cheerleading squad. This went down on week 7. That was at a second Monday night game that nobody got to see on ESPN+. Plus. Fox 10 Phoenix, as an exclamation. Cardinals telling them that the move stemmed from new perimeter seating, and apparently the fans that are sitting low couldn't see the field because the cheerleaders were in the way. But this gets us back to the seats that people stand 4 deep in at Mercedes-Benz, which I don't freaking understand because you got the best seats in the house. So now you got the cheerleaders moving. With the introduction of new field-level seating products this season, measures have been taken throughout the year to reduce sideline congestion. So flag runners that carry the flags, you know, for the touchdowns, etc., cheerleaders apparently off in the wings, literally in the tunnel when they're not performing.
Mm.
That's not right.
No, it's not. I didn't know this.
Because they're incredibly hot.
No, that's part of it. But I did not know this. This seems unfair.
You're telling me that you would have rather have watched that slop of a game than have 17 gorgeous women right in front of you?
Is this a would you rather question you're asking me?
Yes, Carl. I would.
Yes, I know Will Guerra would say yes. Fans have since flooded the Instagram page of the Cardinals, cheerleaders voicing their support for the squad in comments and posts. It's honestly really disappointing to see the Cardinals cheerleaders removed from the sideline. These women work incredibly hard. Another guy says, hey, man, I've been a Cardinals fan my entire life, and most of the time they're the only thing to watch on the field,
it's
says
true.
Jim
it's true.
In Scottsdale. He's right.
I agree with that. No, I mean, I did not know that. I guess I didn't see or hear about that story.
Yeah, because nobody, I think, saw the game, and you would have been like, hey, where's cheerleaders at? Hey, one last nugget. Tom Brady. I guess this was on a podcast. Oh, yeah, he was on with Belichick, Max Crosby, Peter King, Jim Gray, and was saying that he still misses playing. And he also says, you know, a lot of folks are saying you're not really bringing anything special to the broadcast, and now this word's come out that now that you're a part owner, you don't get to actually do the kind of meetings with the teams for in-depth. Brady says that he can't wait to get a good game. He says, I think part of the reason maybe folks haven't been digging it or responding to it, most of the games that he's called have been one-sided.
Mm.
So maybe that's part of it. A Dallas 33-17 beating of the Browns, that Saints beating of the Cowboys, and then only a closer game, the Cowboys lost to the Baltimore Ravens, which, of course, garbage points late in the game. Baltimore in total control.
You think that plays a role, the
I
game?
I think to a degree, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to keep it moving. That's when sometimes you want to have somebody who can give me anecdotes and personality. You know, you are the greatest quarterback to ever dress out. Step into it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's gotten better, but I still don't know if it's been what I expected. And what I mean by that is, Mike, he's giving you tidbits. He's doing a good job of analyzing, obviously, but I don't know. Does he feel comfortable? Do you feel comfortable listening to him?
Yeah, it's just, you know what? It's funny. I guess we just thought Tom Brady was going to, like everything else he does, he pursues perfection. He just sounds like another dude. And unfortunately for him, the guy that he replaces is really good. Greg Olson is likable and sounds good. Anyway, there's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Al, we're going to talk some Falcons, man.
Yeah, our buddy Will McFadden's going to stop by. Keith Sweat. Falcons.com senior editor and writer.
I didn't realize that Keith Sweat was a gangster.
No, I had no idea either. Hey, and Brad Guzan's going to stop by. They've got a huge match tomorrow, guys, as they get ready for a 3-game series with Miami. We'll talk to the goalie of our Atlanta United squad coming up at 5:20.
Orin just whispered in my ear, apparently Tony has a drug cartel.
Dukes and Bell.